Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Hey, we're back again, CSRM podcast. Our good friend Tim Tucker, you've heard all about him, the Message Trust that he's the CEO of, working with impoverished, oftentimes even endangered youth. And what they're doing is connecting them not only to faith in Jesus, but to a local congregation where they can be discipled and grow. And it's a great ministry. If you've missed the previous couple of times with Tim, you can pick up all that. Just go back. It's all archived on the CSRM website. But we're going to continue to move forward. We've heard about the Message Trust. We've heard about what you've done, what you are doing, and how that whole work, ministry and mission works out. We've heard a little bit about your personal journey and the suffering, the loss of a wife, the wonderful blessing of a second wife now, with children from both relationships, and it's growing, and that was our last segment. So folks, we want you to really go back and look at some of those things and pick up some nuggets of faith from Tim. Tim, I want to have you take another step with us here. The Lord has blessed you. You're one of the most gifted individuals that I know. You're gifted, obviously, in lots of areas athletically. You're gifted just in terms of relationships and ministry and all the things that you're doing. You're also academically astute, and you have a great sense of knowing how to envision things and to think about things. And you're translating some of those things even into things that you're doing and writing. Start off by giving us a little bit of your academic journey, if you would.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. You're too kind, as always. So, if I were to go back to when we first met, I think it was in 2002 in Cleveland, you were teaching at our Ambassadors in Sports summer program.
Right.
And I think I had a very significant role, in my life. I think yourself and David Oakley, who was back then, yes, part of, with Ambassadors. And at that stage, David was doing his, his master's with a focus on sports ministry. And you yourself were advocating for greater research into sports ministry and the need for an academic basis. I remember very clearly you drawing a diagram. I'm pretty sure it was on a napkin. All great conversations, I guess, were on napkins, and talking about the challenge of disengagement from sports ministry. That we're in an era of engagement and mission. Yes. But the risk was, if we didn't have a solid, sound theological basis, there would be a future disengagement.
If I could jump in, what we're talking about there, and I'm sure this stuff may be coming up on a screen for you, but back in the 1800s, early 1900s, the sports world and the faith world were integrated. They were engaged. Mm-hmm. And then because they couldn't figure out things intellectually, theologically, they split. And then sport and the world sport just went kind of on its own. We've seen the result of that. Now we've re-engaged in the sports outreach era that you're talking about. And I was saying, and you were saying, and I think we're still seeing this, that if we don't get that theological foundation right, there'll be a future disengagement. So pick it up from there.
Yeah. So, this, I think, caught my imagination. So actually, I left school at 16, did an engineering apprenticeship, and through varying circumstances, hadn't really pursued an academic walk, had ended up going into youth ministry and started doing some theological training, but was struggling to find motivation. So I was still an undergraduate, beginning to do my theological training. But I think this inspired me because I could now see a purpose in my education, in an academic career where I could make a contribution rather than just kind of ticking box ticking and going to theology school or going to seminary because that would be the avenue to ministry. So I then signed up with a college here in South Africa called the South African Theological Seminary, which was quite progressive as a distance learning institution. So not progressive theologically, but very strong evangelical theological school, but via distance learning, and it enabled me to begin to accelerate my own academic progress. And I went with South African Theological Seminary right through to master's. The second thing that happened, I think, so that conversation, those conversations with you kind of spurred this interest in more of a research-based practical theology related to sports and recreation ministry. So that was stirred within me. And really, I spent the next number of years doing that. But the second thing was I realized I'm in Africa. And so I need to embed what I'm learning within the African context. And I did as much reading and research as I could into the development of sports in Africa, and actually found the same patterns of engagement, disengagement, re-engagement here within the African context. Engagement being, well, even the pre-Christian era in Africa, sports and recreation had spiritual roots and were very much linked to spiritual activities. So when missionaries came, there was a natural affinity and connectivity between sports and faith. And Western sports were adopted very quickly here in the African context by indigenous peoples. And it was natural for them to associate that with spiritual activity and religion. And actually then it was greatly fueled by mission schools and the rest. So there was this engagement. But then the same disengagement happened, as typically churches saw a threat of their people being involved in Sunday sports over competitive professionalism, the same kind of thing that happened in the West. But I would say 50 years later, this disengagement happened within the African context. And then the re-engagement also happened. Then I would say kind of 80s, early 90s, we were beginning to see this re-engagement again, the sports outreach era, and so on. So I was fascinated to see there was this parallel. So that then fueled, I think, this both academic, practical, theological, but how do we serve within a context here that could allow for a legacy within the sports ministry movement, which then brought me to my PhD studies, where I shifted to then Northwest University, which is a South African-based mainstream university. I joined their theological department and then did my doctoral studies on how we develop a sustainable model for sports ministry leaders within the South African context. So took all this kind of research, everything I've done, and tried to channel it through how can we actually equip sports ministry leaders within the South African context to develop a sustainable approach to sports ministry. And that was then a very practical, again, this we talked about in the first discussion, this proximity approach towards developing sports and recreation ministry for the long term as well. So that was I graduated, you know, interesting. We spoke last time about my loss of Laura. I still had to finish my PhD within a few months after she passed away. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but pushed on through and graduated in 2017 with my doctorate. And so, it's been a great growth experience for me, and I think helped me because I've immersed it within a particular context here within South Africa. So I would encourage anybody, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go to a PhD level, but consider your context, consider what has already been written and developed around sports ministry, and test it within your particular locality. You know, get hold of what Greg has written and what I've written, what others like us have written, and test it, because we need to empirically test some of these theories and the practical, so that the next generation are better equipped and can do better than what our generation has done.
Absolutely. And So we'll call you doctor from now on. You've got that PhD, but congratulations on all of that and well done. And it is, I've often felt like the American sports outreach, sports ministry has been a poor model for people around the world. And that rather than modeling us, learn from our mistakes and do it differently and do it better and create the model that is there. And I think that's what you're doing. Good. That's one of the things you're really doing. But tell us a little bit about your, what you're writing. What are you writing right now?
So right now, so
what have you written? What have you written?
What have I written? Yeah. So I've spent some time when we started Message a few years ago, wrote two books. The first one was a book on mentoring, looking at the sample of Paul and Timothy from 2 Timothy. I'm sure something very close to your heart, Greg, called The Pace Setter. So using that athletic metaphor, but looking at the principles that we can draw from Paul's example of how he invested in Timothy and that whole multi-generational leadership paradigm, and so that was a bit of a bridging project for me between academic. It's kind of sometimes nice to have some writing projects that are a bit different, but then that kind of evolved it. When we developed Message Trust, we wanted to develop a leadership philosophy that, again, was entrenched in who we are as a mission, as a ministry, but also within our context, the things that we were learning, and, you know, very centered on servant leadership. So a book, the next book I wrote was called Gravitao, which is looking at the example of Christ and how and eight hallmarks for servant leadership that we've been learning within the context of our organization. So again, trying to say, let's not just develop print, there's so much leadership material out there, but so much of it is in a vacuum. Rather, we need to be developing Christ-centered leadership. We need to follow his models within our context and apply it again very practically. So Gravitao was around that. And currently, you asked me what I'm writing right now. Currently working on a book. It's a slow burner, but it's going to be called Effortless. And the whole principle behind this book is you know, living the abundant life. What does the abundant life look like? The idea being that the hallmark of the Holy Spirit's work on our life is that there's fruit. There's a multiplication of fruit through our ministry that could only be explained by the work of the Holy Spirit, not by our own giftedness, not by our own talent. So although those things have a part to play, God takes those things and he multiplies it. So when we look at it, we say, wow, it was actually effortless. So that's something, something I'm looking at now as again, a paradigm for ministry that is, how do we trust for exponential growth and impact within our generation. That's the premise of that.
Are these available via Kindle or other ways?
Yes, everything. If you look on Kindle, there's a few Tim Tuckers on Kindle, so you might have to look a little bit. But if you do Tim Tucker, Gravitao, for example, then you'll find it all on Kindle. Or maybe you'll be so kind to put the links up, and you'll find my page on Kindle. Yeah.
And we're on the front end of talking about how we can bring the CSRM and Message Trust closer together in these ways. Tim, we've spent some good deal of time together, and it's only rejuvenated my own heart for you and what you're doing. And I know we have our continental director there in Cape Town with CSRM. Mm. And I know that we share a lot of things in common, and we're really hoping that we can bring a lot of these things even closer together as we move forward. We need to link arms with folks like yourself. And what's a last word of advice in the last minute or two here for the sports minister that they're out there in the church and they're struggling? What word of encouragement can you give them?
I think I'll tie it into the church. in a moment. I think that, you know, I've learned from my, so the guy I report to is a guy called Andy Hawthorne. He oversees the work in the UK, which is a lot larger than what we've got currently in South Africa. And he's an evangelist, dynamic leader, but he says if he had to write his job description, it would be two lines. The first line would be keep prayer hot. And the second would be keep mission hot. He says, if you keep those two things, then everything else begins to work out around it, you know. And I've loved joining an organization that's got that DNA. You know, we keep prayer hot. We keep it at the center of everything that we do. And we develop a rhythm to make sure that we keep prayer hot. And when you talk about it so much, people actually begin to hold you accountable to it as well. You know, so it's like keeping prayer at the center and keeping mission hot. And I think in a day with where we've been confused by the social gospel and seeing it as somewhat separate from the evangelistic gospel, that's why we use the language of mission, because that combines everything to say, what is our mission? Our mission is the kingdom of God in all its fullness, as a signpost of all that is to come in glory with him. And so keeping mission hot means we will keep front and center proclaiming Jesus in what we do. And so, but the third thing I would add is love the church. And we have church as one of our four values, local church, but church as a whole, that we're looking for the church in the city, the true church of God, and we'll partner and support the true church of God in the city to be all that she is called to become. And in that sense, we speak life about the church. We want to be known as a ministry that doesn't church bash. It's easy to do. If we want to criticize the church, it's the easiest thing in the world to do, you know, but actually it will take some brave people to say, no, the church is God's bride. Let's call it in faith. Let's call her to become what Jesus is calling her to become. And so I would say, where you've been discouraged or disillusioned, come back to that place where you can celebrate church, ecclesia, the things that you were talking about, and see the beauty of that again. And we need voices in this day and age, I think, that are going to be celebrating, because that's what we say the church in many areas it's the best kept secret. The heroes are not in the press, they're not in the media. They're going about kingdom activity day in, day out, at the coalface, making a tangible difference. And if we ripped the church out of communities across Cape Town, we would be far poorer for it, the true church. Let's find that, let's celebrate it, and let's pray that God will continue to refine us to become more effective for him. That was more than a mouthful.
So the sports ministers, keep prayer hot, keep the mission hot. And we have two sayings in CSRM. It's not so much that we need to pray for the work, it's recognize that prayer is the work.
Yes, that's good.
And the second one is that if mission is not intentional, it is accidental at best.
Yeah.
And so we share our hearts there. You're in an energy loading situation there, or I don't know, I've got the right term, but your screen could go black at any time right now. And so we've really run up against it, but we really appreciate you. And if you just caught on here, Tim Tucker, who is the CEO director of the Mission Trust in Cape Town, South Africa, and you need to get in touch with them and know how to support them and figure out how you can connect with them. Tim, this has been a joy.
Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it. Great to reconnect with you, and thanks for this opportunity.
And if there's anything we can do in CSRM, you let us know. We want to partner with you. So for those of you that have been watching, listening, thank you. Come back next time. We're going to keep another CSRM podcast coming your way to help you be able to go and be Christocentric, gospel-centric in your evangelistic disciple-making through your sports, rec, and fitness in your local church. So glad that you could be with us. Tim, thank you.
Thanks.
We'll be right back.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of the Association of Church Sports and Recreation Ministers and their video production house, Overwhelming Victory Flicks. Dr. Greg Lindville is the executive producer, and Andrew Fouts is associate producer and editor. For more information about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of a new podcast network called Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.